All right, turn with me back to Mark chapter 7. Mark 7. We're about to look at an account that I've always thought was one of the sweetest accounts in the Word of God. I have always loved this account. It's so precious. I compare it to accounts like when those four men climbed up on that roof and they literally ripped the roof off of that house for their friend who was sick of the palsy. And they climbed up on that roof and they pulled him up in a bed and they sat there and worked. The Lord was preaching in the house. Can you imagine? Here he is preaching and people are hearing. All of a sudden, what in the world is going on? And he rips the roof. All those four men rip the roof off that house and they lower their friend down with ropes straight into the presence of Jesus Christ. And it says, God Almighty, seeing their faith, said to the sick of the palsy, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. Just precious. Precious. We have a similar instance here. A woman has come to the Lord Jesus Christ on behalf of her daughter. Verse 24 says, and from thence he arose, our Lord arose, and went into the borders of Tyre and Sidon, and entered into a house, and would have no man know it, but he could not be hid. He just could not be hid. If Christ ever comes into this house, right here, if Christ ever enters this house and takes up residency in this house, it cannot be hid. You can't hide it. You just can't hide it. There's a story of a little child who heard the pastor say, Christ in you is the hope of glory. And later that child asked his father, they were riding home, and he was kind of confused by all that. And he said, Dad, if Christ was in me, here he's seeing himself as a little child and Christ is a man. And he said, if Christ was in me, wouldn't he stick out? And his dad said, yes, son, he most certainly would. He cannot be hid. Verse 24, and from thence he arose and went into the borders of Tyre and Sidon and entered into a house and would have no man know it, but he could not be hid. For a certain woman. Now here's something we can all notice about the Word of God. It's certain. I mean, it's certain. Everything about this Word right here is certain. God wants to save you if you'll let Him. That's not certain. I may or I may not. Might do it today, might change my mind tomorrow. That's not in the Word of God, though, is it? Everything in this Word is certain. Everything in it is ordered and sure. Everything that is promised shall come to pass. This book is just a notification. It's not asking anybody for anything. It's just telling us how it is. Everything in it is on purpose and is particular. You know that? It's all particular. A certain woman. It says in verse 25, a certain woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him. Somebody told her about him. Thank God somebody told me about him. Faith comes by hearing, doesn't it? Somebody told her about him. And she came and fell at his feet. Now, if you have a ribbon in your Bible, put a marker right there. And turn with me to Matthew 15. And then once you get to Matthew 15, put a ribbon right there. Or a bulletin or something. Put a marker right there. This is Matthew's account of the story. And we have different details. And we have more details given. And so what we're going to do this morning is go back and forth. I don't want this to be confusing, but I want us to see the whole story. So we're going to go back and forth between these two accounts. Matthew 15, verse 21 says, "Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast." Matthew tells us this woman was from the same coast. You think about the beach. Here he went to this beach. Well, she was from that beach. The same coast. And it says she came to him, doesn't it? But do you know what it also says? He came to her first. He came to her where she was, the very place that she was. And he did that so she could come to him. That's why he did it. That's how it is with salvation. That's how it is with everything that pertains to Christ. He's first, then us. We love him, don't we? We just had a Bible study on love. We love him, don't we? You know why? Because he first loved us. And we do come to him. But we do that because he first came to us. Now go back over to Mark 7 with me. Mark 7, verse 24 says, "And from thence he arose and went into the borders of Tyre and Sidon, and entered into an house, and would have no man know it, but he could not be hid. For a certain woman, whose young daughter had an unclean spirit, heard of him, and came and fell at his feet." This woman had a need. This woman had a need. The only time sinners will come to Christ is when they have a need. That's the only time. It's when they have a need. There are sinners all over this world. And when I say sinners, I'm talking about the one standing behind this pulpit first. And then I'm talking about every man and woman born into this world. We're all born in sin. But there are sinners all over this world that acknowledge this man, Jesus. They do. You believe in Jesus? Yes, I sure do. And they will acknowledge that he has written his word. Ask them, "Do you believe this is the word of God?" "Yes, I sure do." But let me tell you what every single one of us must acknowledge. And if we cannot acknowledge this, we ought to be very afraid. If we search within and cannot find this, that ought to strike fear in us. We must acknowledge our need. We must acknowledge our need. Without that need, if God does not reveal to us our need, we will not come and fall at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what do we need? I need salvation. I need him. You see, on my own, here I am living through this life, you know, trying to do right and be a good husband and a good father and be faithful to what I'm called to do and be kind to people, be friendly, help people in need, give to those that don't have, conduct myself in a good moral way. And that will not get me into the presence of God. I won't make it. I won't make it. So what that causes me to realize is I have a need. You know what I need to be? As holy and good as God. That's what I need. I cannot stand in His presence unless I am as good as the holy God. One spot of sin. You remember the stories back in the Old Testament of leprosy. They said if you find one spot of sin on the flesh, lock him up. He has leprosy. One spot. But do you know what it says? If he's covered head to toe with leprosy, with spots. If you can't find one good spot on him, set him free. He's clean. You know what that means? It means if that man cannot look anywhere on him without seeing a need, I got to get rid of this leprosy. But once you will it away, once you decide to get rid of your leprosy, I wish I could, but I can't. I have a need. I have a need. And without that need, I won't come falling at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know that a person has only found religion. That's all they found. You know a person has only found religion when he says, "Buddy, I used to be a sinner." I had a guy used to tell me that all the time. He wanted me to know that all the time. Well, I'm going to tell you, you don't even know. You can't even imagine what I used to be. Buddy, I used to be a sinner. When God reveals Himself, when God comes to a sinner who has no idea what He is, who He is, how He is, when God reveals Himself, and when a man or woman sees the holiness of God Almighty, he cries, "I am a sinner. I am a sinner." If there's something I wanted you to know this morning, I would tell you this. I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner. But you're a preacher. I know. The Apostle Paul said, "I'm the chief." Man, I'm the chief. Right now, I have a need. Well, this woman had a need. This woman had a need. Verse 26 says, the woman was a Greek. That means a Gentile, a foreigner. A heathen. She was a Syrophoenician by nation. She lived on the border of Syria and Phoenicia. And she besought him that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. Now this woman was not of the house of Israel. You see that? It said she was a Greek. She was a Gentile. She was not of the house of Israel, and what that means is the Lord God did not owe her anything. Do you know how many people believe God owes it to me? He has to save me. He didn't owe her anything. He does not owe us anything. Turn with me to Ephesians 2. Ephesians 2, verse 11 says, "Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh." Any person who is not a Jew is a Gentile. We're all Gentiles. "Wherefore remember that you being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world." That was this woman. And that's all of us by nature. That's every single one of us by nature. The way that we are born into this world, in this flesh, we have no hope. We have no hope. And the reason is because we're without God in the world. We are separated from God by this fleshly, nature. God is holy. We are sinners. And the two can't mix. They just cannot mix. The holy God must punish sin. That's what the scripture says. He must punish sin. It cannot be in his presence. Not at all. The only hope we have is for that sin to be removed, cast forth, cast out. And there's only one way that can happen. It's by the power, it's by the will, and it's by the work of Jesus Christ. That's it. There is no hope in anything but one thing. But one thing. It's by the power. It's by the will. That means the decision. And it's by the work. Everything that Christ accomplished for his people. It's only by Christ alone. By his blood alone. And this woman right here, she knows she's a Gentile. She knows that she doesn't deserve it. But she comes anyway. She comes anyway. And I want us all to see how she comes, because we're all Gentiles. And we have a need. Whether we realize it or not, we have a need. We have got to get to the feet of Jesus Christ. And there's only one way to get there. There's only one way to get there. Now turn with me back to Matthew 15. I pray the Lord would reveal this to us right here. I pray the Lord would prepare us for his word. Matthew 15, verse 22 says, "And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me. Have mercy on me." That's the first thing a sinner must cry when he comes to the Lord Jesus Christ. I told you about that time I was invited to that all song worship service. No preaching. I was invited and I was enticed. They told me it's all new and fresh. It's not old. It's exciting. And we sing songs like "Here We Come to Worship," not songs like "How Great Thou Art." How great thou art. Here we come to, you ready for us? Here we come. I'm telling you, God will not receive a sinner that way. I'm just telling you. I'm being honest with you. God will not receive a sinner that way. This woman came and said, "Have mercy on me. Have mercy on me." That's what David cried, isn't it? You think about David, the king of Israel. You know what he cried in Psalm 51? "Have mercy on me, O God." That's what the publican in the temple cried. The one that God Almighty said, that Pharisee right there is going to be cast out. And that publican right there is justified in my eyes. He walked into that temple, smiting his breast, crying, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." That's what blind Bartimaeus cried. "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. I know what I am." And I'm going to tell you this. None of us are willing to admit it, but we know what we are. I know what I am. I know what I deserve. Please have mercy on me. Spare me. Save me. Don't put me in hell's fire. Don't give me what I deserve. That's what mercy is. Not getting what you deserve. Have mercy on me. And then in verse 22, she cried, "Oh, Lord." Lord means Jehovah. And Jehovah means God. She walked up to Jesus Christ. Now think about this. Jesus Christ. There's a sign here in Kingsport that says, Jesus Christ can get you to God or something like that. I've seen it. It's a little bit out of town. He can get you to God. Let me tell you something. Jesus Christ is God. I mean, he is God. To believe He can get you to God is to say, I don't believe He's God. She walked up to Jesus Christ and said, Jehovah, oh Jehovah, Lord, God, I'm a sinner and You're the Holy God. But then she said in verse 22, have mercy on me, O Lord, Thou Son of David. Same thing blind Bartimaeus cried. I believe You are God manifest in the flesh. The one who was sent to redeem sinners. I believe You're the one who can pay off all my debts. I believe You're the only one. I believe You're the Lamb slain. All that Old Testament kept telling us about a lamb slain and a lamb slain and a lamb slain. I believe You're it. The only mediator between God and man. I'm coming to You because You're my only hope. That's the only way to approach Jesus Christ, the God of heaven. That's the only way. We come humbly. We come lowly. Begging for mercy, acknowledging Him to be God, believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, now verse 23 says, but He answered her not a word. That's not the response she was expecting. But that's the first response she got. He answered her not a word. He doesn't have to. You know that? He doesn't have to. God is not at our beck and call. We're at His. We're at His. As soon as He calls, we come. Listen to this. Don't turn. This is Daniel 4, verse 35. If you want to read this later, write this down. This is a wonderful verse. Daniel 4, verse 35 says, all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. And He doeth according to His will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And none can stay His hand or say unto Him, what doest thou? That's our God. That's the God of the Bible. No man can question Him. No man can command Him to do anything. Do you think this woman in our text came to Him saying, I'm going to let You help me. Fell down at His feet and said, I tell you what. I'm going to let You help me. Is that how she came? The Lord said in Isaiah 43, I will work and who shall let it? How many times have we called on the Lord and not been given the answer immediately like we wanted? How many times? It's often, isn't it? Lord, I want patience and I want it now. It's often, isn't it? What do we do in that case? What did she do? In Matthew 15, verse 23, but He answered her not a word, and His disciples came and besought Him, saying, send her away, for she's crying after us. She just kept crying. And she just kept crying. And she wouldn't stop crying. I need mercy. She would not go away. Our Lord said, you shall seek Me and find Me when you shall search for Me with all your heart. All your heart. I would love to search God with all my heart this morning. I pray from this moment on, He will let me. I can't let Him do anything, but He could let me search Him with all my heart. God wrestled with Jacob all night long, didn't He? He came up and wrestled. Jacob's name means sinner, supplanter, trickster. He was a worthless man. And God wrestled with him all night long. And when the morning came, God told him, let me go. You think He couldn't go like this to Jacob? But He said to him, let me go. And Jacob said, I won't do it. So God broke his thigh. And then he said, let me go. And Jacob said, I will not do it. I will not let go until you bless me. Did God bless Jacob? He made a covenant concerning him. Concerning him. Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help. For his help. Our Lord answered this woman not a word, so she kept crying, and she would not stop crying. And the Lord answered her. But this is what he said in verse 24. He answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Here's what he said to her. I did not come for every soul on this earth. That's what he said. I did not come to save every soul on this earth. I came for a particular people. That's what he told her. Those that my father chose and gave to me. And he just got finished telling her, you're not worthy of this. You're not worthy. What makes you think this is for you? She's coming asking for mercy and asking for help. And he just ignored her. And so she wouldn't stop, and she wouldn't stop. And he told her, I'm not sent but to the... You're a Gentile. She knew it. He knew it. I'm not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. What makes you think you're worthy of this? Verse 25. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. Lord, help me. If she was begging for mercy, she's really begging now. Lord, help me. God, help me. Please, Lord, help me. Verse 26, but he answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. Not only are you not worthy of this, you're a dog. You're a dog. You know what she said? Verse 27. And she said, truth, Lord. Truth. You are not worthy. Truth, Lord. I did not come to save everybody. Truth, Lord. You're a dog. You're just a dog. Truth, Lord. Truth. Verse 27, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. You know what she was saying? She said, the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. Here's what she said. I'm a dog, but I'm your dog. I'm your dog. You're my master. I bow to you. I acknowledge you to be my owner, my creator, my Lord, my King, my master. How about us? You're the one that holds my life. My life is in your hands. My life is literally in your hands. Truth. I'm a dog, but even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. You're my master. You're my master. Job said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Can we say that? Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. This woman could not be run off. She could not be run off. How about us? How about us? He's saying to us through this word right here, you're not worthy. Is that running us off? No. Yes, I am. How dare you say that to me? Truth. He's saying to us through this word, I didn't come to save everybody. I only came to save my elect. Is that running us off? Through this word, He is looking us right in the eyes and saying, you're a dog. Is that running us off? We come in here, we open up this word, and do we not see Him say in His own words every single time, you're a sinner? Do we not see that every single time? You're a sinner. You're nothing but a dead dog sinner. Is that running us off? No. You know what we say? Truth. Truth. I love how Mark's account worded this. Go with me back to Mark 7. I'm almost finished. Mark 7, look at verse 27. But Jesus said unto her, let the children first be filled, for it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. And she answered and said unto Him, yes. That means, amen. So be it. I wholeheartedly agree. You're unworthy. Amen. You're a dog. You're a sinful dog. Amen. But I'm your dog. I'm your dog, so I come to you. Verse 29, right here in Mark 7, says, and He said unto her, for this saying, go thy way. The devil is gone out of thy daughter. And when she was come to her house, she found the devil gone out, and her daughter laid upon the bed. Don't turn back. But over in Matthew's account, He said, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee, even as thou wilt. Now, how does she get that faith? Boy, let's really pat this woman on the back. You know, she didn't have much, but she came and she mustered up some faith. And faith is not of ourselves. It is the gift of God. So what He was telling her was, woman, God has been gracious to you. God has been gracious to you. Dear sinner, if you have come and begged, if you have begged, then it means God has been gracious to you. If you see your need just like this woman, and this is hard. Everywhere our Lord went, everything He said, the Pharisees said, oh man, that's a hard saying. That's hard. That's hard on the ears now. If you can hear the offense of the gospel and with all your heart say, truth, Lord, God has been gracious to you. Christ has shed His blood on you. God has put His Spirit in you. If He's given you that faith to believe His word, I see it, I hear it, I believe it. Great is thy faith. He said, be it unto you. God has been gracious to you. David said in the Psalms, the Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart. And God has to break it. We can't break it ourselves. It's too hard. It's just too hard. But if God has broken our heart and if He's caused us to say, truth, Lord, yes. Yes, I'm a dog, but I'm your dog. Then it means He is near to us. And it means we belong to Him. One man made the statement years ago, when God saves a sinner, even his dog will know it. That sinner will see himself to be a dog. The Master's dog. And he'll see the kindness that the Master has showed to him. All we want. Is it not true that all we want is to come into His presence and lay at His feet? Do we not want the same thing Mary wants? She was always at His feet. That's all I want. I just want, Lord, to come and lay at Your feet. And I want You to feed me from the palm of Your hand. And a sinner that the Lord has saved and shown mercy and grace to and answered his prayer, he'll see that not just crumbs have fallen from the Master's table. He broke that heavenly bread, the body of Christ Himself. and fed us with it. Freely given it to us. And in turn, that sinner will treat his dog like the master has treated him. It's true. When God saves a sinner, even his dog, you cannot hide grace. You cannot hide the gift of God. The grace and the mercy of Christ. A sinner hears the truth when he finds out he's a dog. We don't know that by nature. Shocking. What? A sinner hears the gospel when he finds out he's the master's dog. He's the master's dog. He sought me. He bought me. He brought me to his home. You go to the pound. Next time you go to the pound, you're going to get you a dog. Well, you have to take all of them. No, I don't. I choose that one. Well, you can't choose that one. It's not fair to that one. I don't care. I can do whatever I want to. This is my money. How much is the price? It's $35. Well, here's $34. Well, you can't take the dog. It must be paid in full. Every penny. You come with me into my house. Now I'm going to feed you for the rest of your life. I'm going to house you for the rest of your life. I'm going to give you a new name. I don't know what they called you before, but I'm going to give you a brand new name. I'm going to love you. I'm going to pet you. You're going to ride beside me. You're a dog, but you're my dog. You're my dog. Lord, cause us all to see we belong to you. Let us lie at your feet for mercy's sake. All right, let's stand together.